ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण. टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग पुरुरव एनचैंटेड बाय उर्वशी टेक्स्ट 49. पुरुरवस एवासीत् त्रैत्रेता मुखे नृप अग्निना प्रजया राजा लोकं गांधर्वं एवान् पुरुरवस एवासीत् त्रैत्रेता मुखे नृप अग्निना प्रजया राजा लोकं गांधर्वं एवान्. ओ महाराज परीक्षित, एट द बिगिनिंग ऑफ त्रेता युग किंग पुरुरवा इनॉग्रेटेड अ कर्म कांडा सैक्रिफाइस. Thus, Pururava, who considered the yagyic fire his son, was able to go to Gandharva Loka as he desired. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In Satyuga, Lord Narayan was worshipped by meditation. Krite yad dhyayato Vishnum. Indeed, everyone always meditated upon Lord Vishnu, Narayan, and achieved every success by this process of meditation. In the next yuga, Treta Yuga, the performance of Yajna began. Tretayam Yajato Mukhae. Therefore, this verse says, Trai Treta Mukhe. Ritualistic ceremonies are generally called fruitive activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that in Treta Yuga, beginning in the Swayambhuva Manvantara, ritualistic fruitive activities were similarly manifested from Priyavrat, etc. The Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Pururava Enchanted by Urvashi. O Maharaj Parikshit, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra, that is, it kicks out any kind of cheating religion which compromises the principles of pure devotional service. And the Bhagavatam, like we mentioned before, is full of stories of again and again, how great devotees of the Lord are giving up substandard principles of religion and adopting the highest principle of Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service to the Lord. So we have gone through 9 cantos and we are just about to enter the 10th canto. 10th canto is like the smiling face of the Lord. And suddenly here we find across an incident where a person was so desperate for fulfilling his material desires. And the Bhagavatam mentions that actually he was able to fulfill his material desire. So what is this? How do we take this? How is it possible that the Bhagavatam could be supporting something like this? So this is a very important principle that we should learn in our life, in the sense, like yesterday's, just picking up a theme from Narahari Prabhu's yesterday's fiery class, about how the Lord is going to give us tests when we least expect it. Srila Prabhupada had said that if one simply studies the Srimad Bhagavatam, systematically goes through the 9 cantos, by the time he finishes the 9th canto, he is going to be self-realized. And that is his qualification for entering the 10th canto. But just before you are fully self-realized, there is an incident in the Bhagavatam wherein the reader is tempted that, hey, if you have material desires, there is a way of fulfilling it. Do some sacrifice, do some yajna, tapasya, austerity, and any material desire that you still have can be fulfilled. So this will happen to us again and again in our own life. We come for classes, we associate with devotees, we know the philosophy, we chant the holy names, we do the services. But again and again on our path, there will be temptations, there will be difficulties, there will be obstacles. And always, you know, we all know the example of the good dog and the bad dog, how there are two kinds of dogs within our heart. The bad dog is always asking us to give up the path of devotional service, and the good dog is always trying to make us walk the path of purity, morality and pure devotional service. So always it will happen that no matter what stage we reach, there will always be a choice. Should I accept devotional service, pure principles, or should I reject devotional pure principles of devotional service? Just like I remember like one very senior sannyasi who was just been in the movement for more than around 40 years, just hearing his class, and he was telling us how, because at that time the Bhagavatam used to come canto by canto, volume by volume. Now, I mean, if you want the Bhagavatam set, you can just get the entire set together, 18 volumes. But at that time, Prabhupada used to translate and the books used to come out one by one. So this ninth canto, by the time the ninth canto is coming out, it is almost like the summer of 1977. And Prabhupada just translated around 13 chapters of the 10th canto more. So just imagine the ninth canto comes out and the devotees are eagerly waiting for it and they are reading it. And they come to this chapter 14, King Pururava enchanted by Urvashi. And we are, you know, they are discussing this is not good, you know, he is, why is he doing all this? And in the end, this line is there, thus Pururava, who considered the yogic fire his son, was able to go to Gandharva Loka as he desired. So what do we make of it? So what is an extremely essential thing in devotional service is patience. Sometimes we might be going through, like yesterday how in the Brahmachari class Gauranga Prabhu was mentioning this, that sometimes even as devotees, we might be going through a karmically very, very difficult period of time. At that time, we may not understand exactly why this is happening to me. I've been very serious, really. From the core of my heart, I've been very seriously practicing devotional service. I'm being very honest, sincere. But still, why is this happening to me? And moreover, sometimes even others might, you know, tell us, like people who are not so inclined toward devotional service might try to discourage us by saying that, look, you've been practicing devotional service so nicely for so long, but still these things are happening to you. Why is that? So sometimes when karmically we have to undergo that, there is no option, but only thing we can do is just grit our teeth and just wait for that phase to pass. Eventually, time will reveal why we had to go through it. That is the only solution. There is no other kind of shortcuts to go through it. Even if we are devotees, we have to understand that. But as devotees, our position is much safer because we have the capacity to completely take shelter of genuinely permanent things which can actually give us shelter. So that is what is required in such difficult times, to be patient and just let the time pass, let the phase pass. And then if we maintain our integrity and practice and do not compromise the practice of pure devotional service, then we will learn extraordinary lessons from that phase that we are going through right now. There is absolutely no doubt about it. These examples keep happening in the Shastras, and we have different contemporary examples also to support this. So similarly, this example I was giving, the devotee here is 9th canto, 1977 summer, and he's reading this and he's feeling, what is this all about? But he didn't compromise because he had faith that this cannot be possible. The Bhagavatam, such a relishable, you know, Amalam Puranam, it cannot support such a substandard principle, religious principle. So he just waited patiently. 90 chapters of the 10th canto came out, you know, written by Hridayanand Maharaj and other very senior disciples of Prabhupada. The first volume of the 11th canto came out. The second volume of the 11th canto came out. And in the 26th chapter of the 11th volume, this is probably 1980. So 1977 is 9th canto, this is around 1980s, you know, 3-4 years later this 11th volume comes out. And in the 11th volume, who none other than Lord Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is speaking the Uddhav Gita to Srila Uddhav. And in the Uddhav Gita, he speaks about this episode of Pururava. And not only does he stop here, he tells the story what happens after that. Pururava definitely goes to Gandharva Loka. He continues his so-called enjoyment. But after that, there is a section where Pururava suddenly, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, is able to realize that, you know, I mean, I've been such a big fool. What is, you know, what have I been doing for so long? This, you know, and there is a lot of, like, if you get some time, you can just go through it, if you have the Bhagavatam. And he develops complete detachment from any kind of material pleasure. First he condemns himself, develops detachment, and then he develops firm determination to practice the path of pure devotional service. He agrees that he's been a fool throughout and this is not the highest goal of life. And this section is known as the Aila Gita. Aila Gita. I was thinking that maybe in the heavenly planets, people were telling Pururava, Aila Pururava kya kar raha hai? And therefore it's called, you know, Aila Gita. I don't know, maybe. So the point we are driving at is, you know, you have to be patient. You know, the ninth canto stops here because the Shukdev Maharaj and the Srimad Bhagavatam, remember Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. He is testing us that are you ready to enter the pastimes of the Lord? Because if you have even a little tinge of material desire, if you have a little desire to compromise the path of devotional service, then you are not qualified to enter the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes it doesn't make sense, you know, like with a mundane vision, we don't know why are we practicing devotional service. You know, so many things are going wrong in my life on an external level. I am feeling all alone. There is nobody to support me. Everybody is criticizing me. Why should I go on? But that is the test. And if we don't go through that phase, grit our teeth like we mentioned before and go through that phase, then how do we prove to the Lord that we are sincere and we really want only Him, nothing else? So that is one of the lessons we learn from this sudden, what do you say, like a pause in the story. So, I mean, and if you just consider this, Pururava himself admits it in the 11th canto. I mean, what a shame. He is the emperor of the world. Just imagine the kind of influence and the kind of strength and the kind of power he had. If he had the right focus, like was mentioned in yesterday's Bhagavatam class, if he had the right focus, then he could have achieved so much extraordinary things. He could have done so much for the welfare of the world. But somehow or the other, he got distracted. And therefore, one of the easy ways of removing this lust that is there within the heart of all of us is by the association of saintly persons. Actually, what happens is when we simply hear of the behavior of the saintly persons, hear how they went through the difficulties of life, how they faced various situations, immediately what happens is we feel like readjusting the priorities of our life. Generally what happens in devotional service is that even though we are practicing in the association, complacency sets in. And gradually over a period of time, other things become more important than wanting only Krishna in our life. So when we hear about great devotees, we feel like we have to really see what is really important in our life. Like for example, in, you know, this, I want to share this. Yesterday we heard about that lady, Narahari Prabhu, saying that Bengali lady in Vrindavan. I mean, what guts. She's telling those people who came with guns to Vrindavan, trying to evict her from her temple, that main to marne ke liye aayi hu idhar. You do whatever you want. I mean, that is a kind of faith, you know, she's got. That is a kind of power, determination, ready to do anything, you know, to defend the, you know, principles of devotional service. So when I heard that, I was thinking, am I really giving my, you know, full effort to practice this devotional service? It really, if one is hearing that in a very submissive mood, heart has to churn when you hear the such examples. Am I really taking full advantage of the nice facilities that the Lord is providing me to practice devotional service? Do I really want only the Lord in my life? Or do I want other things also? So, today being Shivaratri, nice example is there of Lord Shiva, so kind and so compassionate. He was, you know, like his disciples are all those, you know, generally rejected by the ordinary, you know, people, like ghosts and hobgoblins and, you know, other kind of demons. So Lord Shiva is so compassionate. He is an example of one of the saintly persons. So, as per the Vaishnav calendar, Shivaratri is tomorrow. So, tomorrow's Bhagavatam speaker is going to speak more about, you know, the glories of Lord Shiva. So, if you have come today with the expectation of hearing something nice, some glorification of Lord Shiva, do not be disappointed. I have good news for you. You can come back tomorrow from the Srimad Bhagavatam class. In other words, you get to hear Bhagavatam class twice. You get to hear today's class, as well as if you come back tomorrow, you get to hear the glories of Lord Shiva tomorrow. So, 2 days continuous Bhagavatam class you get to hear. So, please do come back tomorrow. But today, we want to just highlight another example of an extraordinary, wonderful soul. We have very less time, so we will not discuss many pastimes. We'll just take one single episode from this person's life and try to see what we can learn from here. I refer to Srila Ishwarapuri, that extraordinarily divine soul whose disappearance day was yesterday. So we can just try and revisit his characteristics and hope that somehow or the other we can follow his footsteps. So it is mentioned that Madhavendra Puri is the root or the seed of the tree of devotional service. Srila Ishwarapuri is the sapling, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gardener himself, is the main trunk of the tree, with different branches sprouting from that tree, like Advaita Acharya, Nityanand Prabhu. And very, very interestingly, very, very hope-giving, Prabhupada mentions that even ISKCON is one of the branches of this tree. So it is very hope-giving, I say, because even though today it is a fact of life, we may or may not want to discuss this openly, but there are problems, there are difficulties. People might say, oh, ISKCON is not powerful, there are so many things going on, this, that, everything. But the world-renowned Acharya Srila Prabhupada says, ISKCON is one of the branches of the tree of pure devotional service. That means ISKCON, Prabhupada's movement, is very, very powerful. And we should always be extremely grateful that we have been given a chance to render some kind of insignificant service in this extraordinary branch of the pure devotional tree. So it is mentioned that Ishwarapuri was a constant companion of his Gurudev, Srila Madhavendra Puri. And if you see, he used to travel with him on different pilgrimages, especially in the western province. When Madhavendra Puri first met Nityanand Prabhu, their first meeting, it was so ecstatic that Ishwarapuri was just witness to this, you know, divine meeting of these two extraordinary souls. And very, very interestingly, it is mentioned that Ishwarapuri is the foremost disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Now, if you just hear the statement as it is, okay, like, you know, every guru has, probably has his, you know, favorite, his sincere disciples. So, But just see the kind of God brothers Ishwara Puri had, the disciples Madhavendra Puri had. Nityanand Prabhu, the origin of the Guru Tattva, the spiritual master of all spiritual masters, he is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Advaita Acharya, who is an expansion of both Mahavishnu and Sankarshan. I mean, you know, if Advaita Acharya does pranayam too much, the whole material universe might get destroyed, you know, because it is said Mahavishnu, with the inhalation and exhalation of Mahavishnu, the universe can get destroyed. So that is the kind of power that Advaita Acharya has. And Advaita Acharya is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is none other than Rishabhanu in Krishna Leela. And he is the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit. Who is the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit, who is none other than Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Just see the kind of level we are talking about. You know, we can't even, like, beyond our mental capacity to even imagine. And others like Paramanand Puri, Sriranga Puri, very, very pure, exalted souls. And even though so many God brothers are there, so many disciples are there, Ishwara Puri is said to be the foremost disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And that is why Lord Chaitanya, in his earthly pastimes, decided to take initiation from him. So just imagine the kind of quality we are talking about here, the refinement, the quality of devotional service here. So every time, you know, we hear somebody, oh, somebody's become rich, somebody's got money. So the tendency is, we want to know, how did he become rich? You know, what did he do? Oh, Bill Gates, how did he make his money? Okay, where he invested, you know, Warren Buffet. Which stocks he invested, you know? Let's see, let's learn. So similarly, the, you know, our attitude should be, when we see a very advanced devotee, we should be very, very eager to know about his experiences that he had in life. What exactly did he do? You know, so that we don't want to imitate, but we just try to emulate or follow the footsteps of the person and try to get that same qualities in life. Of course, when we talk about these, you know, personalities from the Shastras, there are two ways to look at it. One way is to just look at it as part of Leela. Are, you know, these are all Leelas, you know, they had to just do it. But when we just look at these things as Leela, what we are doing is, in one sense, we are disrespecting or not really taking full advantage of the mercy that they are providing to us when they come to this world and perform their different pastimes. When they come, these people, when they come to this world, they act as ordinary people, ordinary devotees. But just so that we are able to learn the proper lessons of life and try and follow their footsteps. So what was it about Ishwara Puri that, like, really thrust him into the forefront? We have lack of time, just one incident. This is, like we heard, he is the constant companion of Madhavendra Puri. So during Madhavendra Puri's final days, he was, you know, an invalid, not able to really do anything for himself, by himself. And he wanted external help. Srila Prabhupada clarifies by saying that we should always know that the pure devotee is always protected by Lord Krishna. But sometimes we find that pure devotees also have to undergo these kind of incidents, but it is not because of any karmic factor. It is just that by being an invalid, by asking for help from their disciples or from their well-wishers, the pure devotees or advanced devotees are actually helping the other ordinary people around them to draw out their love from their hearts towards the pure devotee. And by that love, they become more attached to the Vaishnava and to the path of pure devotional service. So when this was happening, Ishwara Puri was serving Madhavendra Puri in an extremely menial and humble way. As we know, at that time Madhavendra Puri was facing separation from Krishna. In fact, he was the first person who introduced, you know, this concept of this feeling of separation. So he would just chant this mantra, Ai Deena Dayada Natha He Mathura Natha Kadavalyoksase. Actually, in my personal life, this is a very, very, very personal and very, very sweet mantra for me, because, you know, around five years ago, I think, yes, 2006, somehow or the other, I had the extraordinary fortune to witness the passing of an extraordinary another soul from this earth. I'm very, very grateful for that. His Grace Sto Krishna Prabhu, my beloved senior god brother and extraordinary friend. And when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj had come to meet him, so he had advised His Grace Sto Krishna Prabhu that you should always meditate on this verse chanted by Madhavendra Puri. So we just put up a printout, because Sto Krishna Prabhu, he had cancer, if you know, some of you know this, and he was always bedridden, but he had always an extraordinarily blissful smile on his face. And we just took a printout of this verse and put it up on the ceiling, and then he would just lie down and I would just, somehow I was given the opportunity to be standing beside him, and we would together chant this verse for hours, again and again, say the same thing. So anyway, Madhavendra Puri was chanting this verse and feeling, you know, deep this thing of separation from the Lord. And Ishwara Puri, when he understood the mood of his spiritual master, he kept chanting the holy names, and he kept speaking the appropriate, you know, Krishna Katha, by which his Krishna consciousness was again and again nourished, like giving pleasure to Madhavendra Puri. And he was not only doing that, he was actually honoring his spiritual master by cleaning, because he was not able to clean himself. He was actually cleaning the stool and urine of his spiritual master with his own bare hands. So when Madhavendra Puri, you know, saw this kind of service attitude, he said that I'm blessing you with my full heart that you become a great lover of Krishna. So it is mentioned that by this blessing, you know, whatever love that Madhavendra Puri had in his heart, that entire love was transferred in the heart of Srila Ishwara Puri. So if we just see this, if we just contemplate on this, you know, one of the greatest strategy, if we may call it strategy, see, you know, it has a very diplomatic tone to it, but if we want to really, really survive in devotional service, one of the greatest strategies is this, what Ishwara Puri has done. Just enter the heart of a very, very exalted Vaishnava. In fact, the safest place in the material world is to be always in the heart of a Vaishnava. Now, what do we mean entering the heart of a Vaishnava? Entering the heart of a Vaishnava means actually a pure Vaishnava is thrilled to find somebody sincere enough to give pleasure to his lordships, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So entering the heart means we should have tons and tons of sincerity. Now, this sincerity can manifest in various ways. This sincerity, we can prove that we are sincere through the kind of, you know, through number of rounds we chant, through the quality of rounds we chant, you know, through the kind, different kind of services that we are rendering, and, you know, through the kind of Vaishnav dealings we have. It can manifest through many things, but the main thing is we have to please the Vaishnavas through our service attitude and through our behavior, that the Vaishnav, the exalted Vaishnav, first of all, the step before that is, first look at, you know, because you have to be very, very, very carefully analyze and see that, just like it is said, mentioned in the Shastras, that the disciple, the guru tests the disciple, and at the same time, the disciple is also looking at who is the, you know, perfect guru. Is this person worth taking, you know, initiation from? Is it worth taking lessons from? So before we decide on, you know, we want to enter the heart of this person, we have to really, really observe that person and hear from that person and have utmost faith that yes, if this person blesses me, then I am going to make extraordinary progress in spiritual life. And once we have that conviction, then all our energy should be directed on, let me see in what way can I enter the heart of this person. So one very simple way is to just follow his instructions. And to do that, you have to hear from him. And when you hear from him, you have to serve his instructions. In fact, when I say entering the heart, we should lodge ourselves so much in the consciousness of that person that automatically, without our asking, that person is so overwhelmed that they bless us and they constantly pray for us. And those prayers are the only fuel which can really sustain us throughout our devotional life. I mean, we might think, you know, we are like big, you know, devotees and sadhakas, and we might be chanting in a very nice posture with a mantra card, big mantra card, you know, like hearing all Bhagavatam classes, doing all kinds of big, big services, lifting this, lifting that, so many things we might be doing. But all that is completely insignificant. You know, Maya Devi will just snap her fingers and everything that we have done will get covered over. And we won't even realize that, you know, we are missing something. We'll be so far thrown away from devotional service, we won't even realize that, you know, we have missed something. So that is the capacity of our insignificant rounds that we are chanting. We might be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So many rounds we might be chanting, so many things we might be doing. But we have to have that deep conviction in our heart that I'm doing all this because a person that I want to please wants me to do this to my utmost capacity, with my full energy. But I know in my heart of heart that all this is completely useless if this person does not pray for me and does not bless me. And in fact, it's like an example, you know, like you have a rich man's son, and the rich man's son, you know, the rich man gives the son a BMW. I don't know how much it is, 3 crores, 4 crores, whatever. He gives him the car and he fills petrol also in the car. And the rich man's son just, you know, zips up and down the car, you know, trying to impress everybody, you know. So similarly, we can find that in our life also it is something like that. Prabhupada, his disciples of Prabhupada, the senior Vaishnavas, have given us an extraordinary framework to practice devotional service. You know, the car, that's compared to the framework. And their constant prayers and their constant blessings and their constant entreaties to the Lord to be kind upon us is the kind of fuel that is going into our devotional lives. So based on this facility and based on the fuel that we are receiving from all these Vaishnavas, many, many big things are being achieved through us. You know, just like that rich man's son is zipping up and down and telling everybody, look, I have a car and I have this and that and all. So you might find in our lives also, many, many big things might be achieved through us. Oh, he's in charge, he's Bhugoda, he's that, he's this, you know. So many things might be mentioned. But we should have the faith that if the fuel is not there, if the fuel starts leaking, my car is not going anywhere. And sometimes what we do, like stupid idiots, instead of filling in petrol, we fill in some kind of other deadly gas, some kind of explosives. That is Vaishnava Aparadha. And instead of hankering for the shelter of the Vaishnavas, we fill in these other things in our spiritual life. And when we start the car, our entire devotional life explodes. And then we ask the question, hey, why is this happening to me? You know, I was so sincere, I was doing so many things. Have you filled in the right fuel? You might be in the right car, but have you filled in the right fuel? So we have to be very, very careful. And another aspect to this is that sometimes we make a very, very, the mistake of just thinking that, oh, spiritual master's blessings I want. My counselor's blessing I want. Senior devotees, those who have spent many years in Krishna consciousness, I want their blessings. But my contemporaries, my equals, my juniors, they are just like, you know, neophytes, and, you know, I don't want them. So I can just treat them the any way they want. But that is absolutely wrong. The Shastras say that any sincere devotee, of course, a pure devotee, if you're able to enter the heart of a very exalted Vaishnava, that is very, very special. But any sincere devotee, you know, is pleased, and that sincere devotee from the core of their heart is praying to the Lord for us, wants the Lord to bless us, and then the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, has to take that prayer extremely seriously. It is not something to be taken for granted. Therefore, when we deal with devotees, we should be dealing with them. Okay, today morning, I'm speaking all these big, big things, but you should understand that you must have noticed by the examples I use that I'm speaking to myself mainly. And if any of you are able to learn any lessons from it, like, please bless me also. But any junior devotee, any senior devotee, any equal is praying for us, then, you know, we should understand that Krishna will shower his divine blessings upon us. And if we notice that in our life, you know, we may or may not be able to achieve big, big external things, but just that if we have faith that if the devotees pray for me and the devotees bless me, then I'll be protected. If we simply have that faith, then we should know it for sure that the spiritual master and the Lord, if we have that conviction within our heart that I need the shelter of the prayers of others for my survival, simply we have that conviction, then we should understand that conviction, because this conviction is a gift from the Lord. It is not something that you can achieve by your endeavors or by your pushing. That conviction is simply a gift of the Lord. And if we have that conviction, we should simply be grateful to the Lord. Therefore, when we deal with the Vaishnavas, each and every Vaishnava, we should be dealing with such a way that tomorrow I should be able to please this person in such a way, make an impact on this person's heart in such a way that tomorrow I have a crisis in my life, this person will be more than willing. External help is okay, but this person will be more than willing to pray for me. This person will be more than willing to bless me. This person will be more than willing to plead to the Lord on my behalf. If we have that kind of mood when, you know, understanding the importance of Vaishnavas, then you can, you know, imagine how blissful Krishna consciousness is going to be. We can just see from Prabhupada's life also, like how when Prabhupada was, in his early days in the Leelamrit, now we are in a section where he's trying to buy the Juhu property. And now things are very much settled in ISKCON. They have got money, they have got people. But I'm talking about early 60s when Prabhupada was, nobody was there to help. And then some young boys, young girls were coming and helping him. Prabhupada was so extremely grateful to them. Even though somehow or the other, we don't want to discuss the reasons, somehow or the other, these wonderful Vaishnavas just left the process of Krishna consciousness. Yet Prabhupada didn't leave them. Prabhupada was always grateful. And he brought them back when they needed his help the most. Just like, you know, 1977, Prabhupada is on his, you know, last days, maybe 2 days before he left, maybe November 11th or November 12th. And all the devotees are chanting and Prabhupada can hardly move. He's not eating for weeks, not drinking for weeks. Anytime the Kaviraj is saying he'll leave his body, devotees are chanting constant kirtan. And suddenly he looks up with great difficulty. He removes the finger, ring off his finger and tells Tamal Krishna Maharaj, give it to George. Who's George? George Harrison. Because Prabhupada acknowledged George Harrison's contribution in making Krishna consciousness, the Hare Krishna mantra, a household name. So that is what is happening in the heart of this extraordinary Vaishnava who came. Just imagine this, what a fortune. The Vaishnavas came on a specific mission to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityanand Prabhu, Jiva Goswami. And this person, just before he's winding up, just before the curtains are going to close, just before this drama is going to end, he has got in his heart George Harrison. And he is thanking George Harrison. Another example, Akinchan Krishna Prabhu was just mentioning this few weeks back, maybe a month back, about how this very, very exalted sannyasi, French sannyasi, who opened up France like anything, and we know France is a very difficult place. Somehow or the other, after Prabhupada left, he was not able to sustain his Krishna consciousness, and he just somehow left the path of devotional service and breaking all the principles and getting into all kinds of difficulties, especially because of his habits. He got some diseases, very severe diseases, terminal illness, and then nobody around, no devotees around, and some, you know, like they have in the municipality or something like that, you know, like, you know, somebody is dying, they just picked him up from the street and then put him in the hospital. And the hospital, they are like, you know, I mean, he's on his last stages, he's just going to leave his body anytime, and then he's completely out of consciousness, completely like almost gone, and all his vital signs are out. And in fact, not only out, in fact, the vital sign, not almost out, it is out, like in a straight line, heartbeat, everything is out. No consciousness, obviously. And the doctors have given up. And suddenly, this is an incident which is recorded by, you know, other, you know, the hospital medical staff who were around him. Suddenly, this person gets up, opens his eyes, you know, no visible symptoms, okay? Gets up, opens his eyes, and in a very sober way, he says, mind you, he's never been in association of devotees since the time he left. He gets up, opens his eyes, and in a very sober way, he says, Srila Prabhupada, you've come. And then he lies down and closes his eyes. So you can imagine, this is the kind of gratitude that Prabhupada has, that not only when he's physically present, he's got immense gratitude in his heart, but even though he's not physically present with us right now, still Prabhupada is always there to help us. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Because that kind of gratitude is there in his heart, because this sannyasi has created a place for himself in Prabhupada's heart. So again, as I said before, if somehow or the other we are consciously focused on trying to create a place for ourselves in the hearts of the Vaishnavas, then actually speaking, we do not have to worry. If this is our constant endeavor, then automatically all other things follow this. This is like the engine, and all other things like chanting sincerely, you know, hearing Bhagavatam, doing service, you know, doing other things, preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness, everything follows this. Somehow or the other, let me attract the attention of this exalted Vaishnava. Let this person very kindly make a place for me in his heart. If he can somehow do that, like Srila Ishwarapuri did that, our full life of Krishna consciousness will be one full big ball of bliss. I thank you so much for hearing this class so patiently. If even a single syllable has helped you in any way, I'm just begging you to please make a place for me in your heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Ishwarapuri ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.